This audio is brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry, where advanced dental technology meets compassionate, patient-centered care.
All I can say is he's the fourth foster kid, and all I can say is well played, karma.
What grade is he going into?
That was my favorite grade here. He should show us 6, 7, 8 grade.
Yes.
Because I'm kind of an adolescent like they are.
Yes.
I'm just weird enough.
That's my name.
Morning, Bill.
Morning.
Morning,
Calvin.
Good morning.
Meyer already having had this beautiful day today.
Had to get John.
Huh? It's going to be a good day today.
John's really, I mean, it's like first day of school. Yeah.
Yes. Christian Shelley may be a woman that's late also. He just insists that he drives his son every day, first day of school, even when you're a senior, and think it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Wow.
Yeah, I wonder what the conversation on the drive is going to be like.
All positive.
Yeah.
Jeff will be crying, and Mason will be like, geez, Dad.
Yeah.
Get out of my business.
Fuck up, you dumper.
Get out of my business, Dad. Oh, that was my son. Larry. Right.
Did you get emotional?
I did not.
You were ready for this?
Very much. And, you know, we got him up to the dorm, and he and his roommate, Karen Murray, were doing their thing, and his parents were on their way up, and there were girlfriends hanging out.
I appreciate it.
My wife shocked me.
Somebody has to.
Okay, if you don't need us, we're going to go. I'm like, what? All right. Cool.
I remember that same day.
Mass of humanity.
You guys had broken elevators?
Not in Jeremiah's dorm, which is Whitehall.
All the other kid ones.
See, I stopped right there. Scott, did you see me stop and pause? Because I was about to say something about entitled 30-something-year-old parents, but I didn't. Meet an older parent is interesting sometimes. Yes, I said entitled 30-something-year-old parents.
I decided it might be a nice time to talk about the legislature's priorities and funding higher education.
I thought
yeah.
Already spent.
Clearly, the halfway does not cover all of UW anymore. Yeah. It's like less than half.
Hey,
Peyton, he said, well, we need to start thinking about college. And I said, you're in grade, you're okay. And he's like, I don't think I want to go. I think I want to go to the Air Force. Sweet, sign up now.
That's what Jeremiah thought in 7th and 8th grade, too. We even went to the academy when he was a freshman. He left and said, nope, not for me.
Well, we will hope that our other Christian, I know that Commissioner Perry does not have kindergarten to drop off, so I don't know where he is, but he did say he was going to be here this morning. So, good morning. We're going to kick off the agenda and let Bill Hawley go through a veteran suicide awareness campaign that is going to start in September. We'll obviously push Project Greenlight again, which is a great outreach effort. So, Mr. Hawley, the floor is yours.
Thank you. I sent all of you an email with just a brief description as well as the information about reach out to me. This is a collaboration with the VA Medical Center in Sheridan. It launched in Sheridan County in 2022. It launched in, good morning, Commissioner Perry. Launched in Natrona County last year, and we were able to pull some strings to be the third county. The goal of the VAMC in Sheridan and Cheyenne is to get this in all 23 counties eventually. I think they targeted, that's a bad word, they are focusing on Park County next. Briefly, we know that we lose 17 veterans every day to suicide, an additional 5 to 6 active service members to suicide in our country every day. You all know that Wyoming has a very large veteran population. You know that Johnson County as well has a large veteran population. The emphasis, good morning, John.
Good morning.
The emphasis of Reach Out to Me is two things. One, connection. We know that in suicide prevention, when people are struggling with thoughts of suicide, if they are not connected with someone or a resource or an outlet, they often will turn to substances. You know, the old phrase is drown your sorrows, right? And other things. So a big piece of the Reach Out to Me campaign is about how can we increase connection between veterans. And not just, you know, oftentimes, as I've talked with bartenders here in our community, we think of veterans as being the old grizzled Vietnam vets. But and really, what we know and what we see is that it's the 30-something vets coming back from Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, who are killing themselves at way too fast of a rate. We also know that the veteran population is tough, right? You add a little cowboy up to that thinking, and suicide becomes a reality. Had a really interesting conversation with a bartender yesterday, Bobby, at the lounge, and he shared an experience that he had with a younger vet who was trying to drown his sorrows, and Bobby wouldn't let him leave, and all the things, and he was talking about suicide. The next thing he knows, the young man's getting in a vehicle, very intoxicated, and I was like, Bobby called 911, which, you know, I'd rather have someone arrested than killing themselves. What I'm asking for you, as I did in my email invitation, is we're having a launch event on September 3rd, weather permitting, at Crazy Woman Square. Governor Gordon has agreed to be our keynote speaker. Commissioner Nabati, I don't know if you had a chance to think about that as well, but certainly a commissioner and or the mayor or council person, if you'd like to have a few words, simply to say the County of Johnson supports this effort. We support our veterans, and we will do everything that we can do to reach out. Again, the phrases are reach out to me, and I'm here to help. Again, people with suicide thoughts often feel helpless and hopeless and alone, not connected. So that's what you'll hear over and over and over again. We also know that formal resources are either not available or are not trusted by veterans. A great majority of veterans that I've spoken to over the years, they don't trust the VAMC for a lot of reasons. Good, bad, ugly, or otherwise. And so if we can get them to dial 988, press 1 for veterans, to connect with someone, or if I'm with Shane and he's my friend and we're not sure what to do and Shane is talking about having some suicide thoughts, if there's a resource, and that's the other part of this campaign, let's raise awareness that there is this 24/7, 365 resource. If you press 1 for veterans, you'll get connected with a specific veterans crisis worker. You also know, because you've heard me gab at your meetings before, we've got two Wyoming call centers, thanks to Governor Gordon and other key leaders in the legislature, that aren't quite fully and sustainably funded yet. I'll throw that out there just because it is Election Day. And Wyoming for Wyoming, right? People in Wyoming who know the Wyoming culture, who know Wyoming people, who know the Wyoming resources are there for them as well. So this event, to be perfectly honest, we're inviting all the veterans. I'm meeting with the good folks, Doug Brothers, and the folks at the VFW Thursday morning at their breakfast to talk about this. And then Vicki Gerhardt, who many of you know, at the American Legion, who's she was cute on the phone yesterday. She's like, pretty much I'm the only bartender when we have events here. So she's obviously the right one to talk to. Today and tomorrow I'll be visiting all of our good bar proprietors. That's a hard word, Mike, on an early morning. So I've got these bar coasters are kind of the key. So we start with bars. So here's the reach out to me. They're fairly colorful. Then on the back, join us to save a vet. There's the information about the Veterans Crisis Line as well. And the other piece is, Commissioner Perry, I know that you're a veteran. I think you might be the only veteran in the room, actually, as I'm looking around. But having a vet like Bob Perry say, hey, I'm someone you can reach out to. If you're really struggling, message me or dial 988, press 1 for veterans. And so there's that whole social media dynamic to it, which, again, the younger veterans in particular might be. But we want friends and family members or vets to take these. The VAMC has given us 3,000 bar coasters. So as Commissioner Novotny said before, this is launching officially. It's kind of soft launch. I did a trial run with Crazy Woman Liquors because I used to work for Linda Becker. Some of you may remember the original Crazy Woman Liquors, which is now Cornerstone. I helped her open that her and Carl, many years before prevention. She still jokes, you know, Linda, she still jokes that when Virgil Harrell sold that building to them, I came with the building. So just doing that trial run, I learned some lessons. So that's the first step. I've got a table tent here that actually came from the Governor's Challenge. So the Governor's Challenge, Jen Davis, when they launched this in Natrona County, they created these table tents. It still has the old number on it. We're looking at doing table tents with the correct number, 988, the best one for veterans, and then kind of expanding into our restaurants. Certainly, folks like Joe and Jennifer at Rosie's, both of them are veterans. Just, again, just having something on the table to see that there's a resource to raise that awareness. And then when we get to November and Veterans Day, we'll, again, launch Operation Greenlight. So a lot about veterans. It's past due, as you've heard me say before. And hopefully you all can attend. Bring a lawn chair, weather permitting. If the weather's nasty, we'll do it in Bummer Mountain at the big gym. Happy to answer any questions. I feel like I really rattled fast again. Did I? Amazing.
Do they ever do anything to figure out why veterans are more prone to suicide than another guy?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, Mike. There's really a lot of reasons. Kind of the top three would be, I'll start with Vietnam vets. Those that were in country saw and did things that none of us, you know, and kind of that feeling of, I can't live with myself because of what I did for my country. So there's that piece. If you talk to someone like my good friend Zach Owens, who served in the Middle East and is a recreational therapist at the Veterans Home, kind of the same thing with those younger guys as well. And the term for that is moral injury. I've done things that, if not in a conflict, I typically wouldn't do. That's not me. So I've injured my soul, literally, right? And I can't live with that. Okay. You add to that a high rate of substance use, specifically alcohol. You add to that access to firearms, which is, again, the most lethal means, not to be Debbie Downer on Election Day morning. But those are the big three. And then the other thing is they tend to isolate. And so if they're going to a bar to drown their sorrows, let's have some resources. So that's the hope. I'm also offering short little QPR trainings for the bartenders and things. Tristan at the Outback thought maybe her folks might be interested. That's going to be a hard sell, if I'm going to be perfectly honest. But it's just about having conversations, making connection, and knowing that there's someone out there that you can talk to.
Any other questions for Bill?
This has been on my bucket list, as I keep telling Kristen. We wanted to launch this last September, but some bureaucratic wheels move very slowly sometimes. So we're getting it done, and really thrilled that our good governor will be able to join us on the 3rd.
Ms. Waller.
Don't forget 12. Oh, I am planning on at least 3 months.
You can't leave.
I can leave. Oh, do you need me to be your support buddy?
Council, commissioners, quick update on Richardson Park. And I was hoping Jeff would be here, but that's all right. So, hopefully there's enough for you. June 27th is when we mailed the mailers out. Included a cover letter as well as a postcard, self-stamped bag. Two questions were on it. Asked the citizens if they wanted to be interested in sewer to this, sewer service in Richardson Park. And then second question was, are they willing to create a district? Did get a 62% response. I got a card back on Friday, so I was getting cards up until just recently. The table, I tried to summarize that table looking at the number of cards that were received back, the total that were mailed out, just to kind of understand the percentages and the response. We were missing about 38%, so that's non-response. And if I extrapolate those numbers out, I'm figuring that that's probably somewhere between 28 and 29 of those missing that are probably in the affirmative and 7 to 8 that are in the negative. Clearly indicating that we probably have that 60% margin of interest of sewer, at least, in that subdivision. I have had a lot of phone calls over the last month and a half. Mainly people interested in what next, what's happening, where do we go. I only received 6 comments. Did have a couple of cards that all had their a return address listed on them. 3 or 4 had listed their names. One person indicated they'd be interested in serving on a board if a district was created. Comments were pretty kind of off the ball. Basically, what's next? In coordinating with the citizens of how to do this, obviously there's a petition process. There's a lot of time and a lot of work that has to go in. In the state statute, they should be doing this. There's a lot of expenses. Once the petition matches the required signatures, it goes up to the commissioners. From there, it works its way through, ultimately, to a special election. Depending on the type of district, that election is a little bit different. Water and sewer districts only need 25% of the landowners that own 25% of the valuation to get it to the ballot. And the ballot question is do you create a district, you know, a water and sewer district or not? It's kind of cut and dry. And then if so, then I think you have to set up a process to get their directors. Improvement in service, you have to have a 60% margin of 60% of that assessed value. That then, if the petition matches that, commissioners go through a public hearing process. It's created. Then it goes to the election for the election of the officers. So there's 2 different realms. But obviously, 2 different, complete different types of districting. Sewer improvement, pretty cut and dry. You know, they put the improvements in, pay off that debt, and then ultimately an entity could take it over or they could self-manage it. Improvement in service, that's a kind of a different ball of wick in its own meme. That's one step below incorporation, gives them the power to do many things, garbage collection, things like that. So I don't know what the council and the commissioners desire to do next, but obviously I think there's a lot of information that would have to be shared and sent out to those citizens, whether it's a public house forum or an open house forum or a town hall meeting. It is the first day of school. Coordinating exactly how we could get use of that auditorium could be tricky, but we could... we could do that. Questions? Comments? Discussion?
Any questions on the data for Mr. Waller?
No. What we were focused on was just sewer, not water. Is that right?
Yeah, the question was completely focused on sewer. Several comments came in, you know, about water. I think if you go back and you think about the meeting in April, a lot of comments about water.
Yeah.
Water is right there. It's much closer than the sewer is. Since we've started this discussion, obviously there's a lot of focus on services and what the city has to offer, can offer. This is the city's operation, not the county's. We don't operate that water system. We don't operate the sewer system. So just trying to make sure that in the worst case scenario that we're looking at the future to figure out how those services can extend out. I'm not saying that Richardson Park would have a problem, but those septic systems on the smaller lots, when they do start to have problems, I don't think we'll be able to have full replacements. And they're going to cost probably $25,000. And as a landowner and a homeowner, I have 26,000 square feet, I think, or something like that, or 21,000 here in town. That represents roughly 30, 35 lots in that subdivision. I can't imagine trying to figure out how to do a well and a septic system on my property in town. So if I can't figure that out, that's why I'm saying, hey, we need to think about this. These are big projects. They're not little projects. Obviously, it takes time to create it. But as long as the governing bodies know, I think we can't be blindsided and we can plan accordingly. The Tobin family and the Lucas family own that approximately 200 acres between Richardson Park and town. And I did get a phone call from one of the trustees, and they were asking what's in the works for Buffalo as far as growth, what's going on. Their property's right adjacent to town. And so I discussed with them this idea, and I said, obviously, if we had any kind of services run up past their property, it involves them because they're a landowner. But I know coming down the hill, gravity sewer, much easier to deal with than it is trying to figure out how to pump things. And it's also more cost effective. But there's a lot of work moving forward. The sewer system has to be completely evaluated. I'm not saying that it can handle it. I know that we have capacity to treat water, but we have conduits getting over to the sewage treatment center. So that all has to be worked out before we ever say, yeah, this is what we're doing. But again, that estimate that Nelson Engineering provided was pushing a year ago now, and it was $750,000. So I think in the long run, that's where I appreciate the governing leaders to think about this, because if you look at the population up there, we have probably 400 citizens in that subdivision, and they're immediately really in that realm of town citizens. I mean, they're in the county, but we have town-sized lots, so.
I'm just really thrilled that it came back that they're so positive, the percentage of wanting to.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good sign.
There's definitely, you could see the ones that were like, no, no. There was some that answered no on, they're not interested in sewer, but they also understand the bigger picture of subdivision. I've had probably 10, maybe 11 citizens actually call me pretty regularly. As we move forward, I think we have to make sure we hit on who can be a champion. And then the question comes up is, if they decide to move forward, I'm not too worried about expenses. I think we can come together to figure out expenses. But an election ballot, that's a cost. They have to have some filings with the Secretary of State. And then they have to spend some money to come up with what has to be depicted as far as a district, a map. Sometimes those, depending on the district, sometimes a surveyor has to actually create that map and stamp it. And then that has to be part of their formation documents. So it's a lot of work. And I think when I reviewed and researched other places in the state, a lot of times the county, because of how they go, the county picks up that tab on the expenses, and then eventually, as the district is created, the district reimburses the county for whatever costs were associated. I don't think there's any way we could make an election today, or, you know, for this year. That's a lot of work between now and then to put on my shoulders.
Well, have the residents seen this tally?
Not yet. That's one of the questions why I wanted to sit down with you guys to figure out how do we inform them and have another meeting. Because obviously if we give them this information, it's going to spark a lot more questions of them, you know, as far as a district. And there's some legal questions. I think that the deputy county attorney can probably help us. I think Barry's pretty knowledgeable about the district law.
And just to be clear, at this point, I don't believe if they were to start collecting their signatures today that they could get on the November ballot. But those have already been, the questions have been certified for that, and it's now waiting for the names that will advance from today. So that really isn't an option for them. Obviously, it's a little easier if you were going to do a special election because it would just be of the residents of that district, and you could set up a polling place up potentially at the Seventh-day Adventist church or something, if that's the route that the residents want to go. Jim, I think the Wyoming Special District Association maybe has either a guide or some resources to setting up, or maybe that is part of the next public meeting where you present this information and see if maybe they would be willing to come in as that third party to explain how you establish a district. So it's not just the city and the county, but that independent third party that works on it all the time. So I think if you could investigate what resources they have or don't have.
To assist us.
Yeah.
Maybe, because they have the ability probably to come in and do a presentation.
You know, I think at a minimum, in addition to giving them this data, you also then need to give them an informational sheet on next step, because they're going to have a big decision. Do you want to go strictly sewer, or do you want to do water sewer? And that ultimately, those residents are going to have to make that decision. We can't make that for them.
So at this point, Jim, the city doesn't, we don't really have any role in this at this point.
No, I think just being supportive, because no matter what, as they move forward, if they decide to do something and say, yep, we're moving forward with that district, I think there's a limit on how long they can keep that petition out there. So once they start that petition process, they can't go like a year trying to get signatures. I think 6 months or something like that. It's pretty limited. And then I think it's, at that point in time, I mean, there was one comment, you know, if you read that comment, she said that they were told a special district would be necessary to bring the sewer lines into the neighborhood, but not to extend to Richardson Park. And that's where, that was that change that happened in the, since that public meeting in April. I understand, but I also know that the city doesn't want to put something out there without a guarantee that it's going to be in use and potentially beneficial. We're not going to build a bridge to nowhere. And I think that's what I tried to explain when some phone calls came in, was that from the city side, they just don't want to have a sewer line ran up to the top of the hill and nobody ever connects to it. We want to have the ability to move forward. So. And I don't know how long you guys would want to get. It might take a month to be able to get down and track down if we could get the Special District Association, and then coordinating a venue where we could get a notice out to everybody and put a notice in the paper, and then hopefully go to the auditorium and give enough time that everybody would be informed of that kind of meeting. You guys only meet as a group once a month, so we can definitely let council and commissioners know, but the next meeting, I don't know if you guys are even meeting in September with the way that some of those Waco meetings go.
So the $750,000, that's just whether that's the county's cost or split. I don't know. I don't know why the city would want to run that, but that's just to run the line up the hill. So for these people that are forming a district, is there any idea, has anyone run the cost on, you form a district, this is what you're paying for, because all that infrastructure will need to be built, right? So I just think, I don't live up there, but if I was going to go to the next meeting, I would be like, well, what are we talking?
I agree with that. I was going to bring that up to people that are a little hesitant. If they find out it's going to cost $200 a month to be part of that, they're probably not going to be wanting to be a part of it.
And I think to go in and answer those kind of questions, that's going to cost some money.
Right. And that's what the district would have to...
Ultimately, yeah, they come up with the design and what is their service and what they want to do. I mean, we have to probably have some answers on as far as what's that load coming into the city system? Can the pipes handle it as far as getting from up there out east. So that's one question that has to still be answered. Then two, somehow I don't know when I say you have to figure out what that cost is for the infrastructure inside the subdivision and who is going to pay for that. Obviously, I doubt very many of those citizens are going to want to go out and hire an engineer right now on speculated cost, but at some point in time, we have to have that kind of figured out.
Okay.
I think we did spend some money 10 years ago, but I don't know if that was with Nelson or if that was with WWC.
Are you talking the brass study?
No, when we were talking about improvements up in Richardson Park.
But that led to the brass study, and that was,
I think that was Nelson.
Because they did look at water and sewer, I think, throughout.
Yeah, I think that was 2015, 2016, and that...
they had costs, but those costs would probably be doubled now or more.
Mm-hmm.
And then we need to look at, too, if other people to the west and north of Richardson Park would eventually want to tie in through the subdivision, hook on to that undeveloped land, we would have more a need for larger trunk lines. So we don't want to build it and build it too small and not be able to accommodate future growth. So yeah, that all has to be designed in there, and then if somebody passed and builds or adds on, they have to reimburse Richardson Park for going through there. I don't understand all that, but there's a process there to do.
Okay. I could track down and see if Nelson still, I'm sure they do, and how much, I don't know, maybe ask him how much it would cost to look at an estimate for sewer services throughout Richardson Park and come back, because Nelson might say, you know, yeah, we can look at that, but it's going to cost us, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 to evaluate that. And that's something that I don't want to go out and spend any money without any permission. But I know that's going to be something that somebody's going to come up and say, hey, who's going to pay for us to look at this?
The brass study, when they did it, I've looked at that, but I don't remember if it had a dollar cost ever in it or not.
I thought that was more...
It was water.
Yeah, and it was more about supply. It wasn't necessarily cost. It was... Well, it was Buffalo Rural Area Supply System. Well, you mentioned earlier that in other special districts, the county paid up front, and then it was reimbursed by the district.
In the state, they have. I don't think that we've ever had that done here, but I know, like, for example, I know Hyattville, when they created their special improvement district over there, they didn't have any money, so the county actually worked with the citizens. There were two pretty wealthy landowners that put up some money, and then once that was done, then their district was created. They mill levied themselves, and then they paid back the county. I think, in essence, there was some money for mapping. They had some money the county set aside for their surveyor, so they could have their district map created. I mean, it's, you know, when we think about these kind of services, there's water and sewer all over in the state of Wyoming that's in outside of municipality limits, and these are the avenues that they do that. So I think it's just important that we always, as a community, understand the pressures and the things that are happening in the county as far as immediately adjacent to the city. And, you know, right across the road is the city from Richardson Park. I mean, it's adjacent to the city. We just have the highway that brings it back down into town, but all of the entire fort is in the city.
I just think it would be a good investment to, like Julie and Bob were saying, those homeowners are going to want to know what it's going to cost them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'd be a good investment to go to Nelson, but I can't speak for the county.
Well, and Jim, I know you're anxious to put this out there, but I also think that you need to gather the information first. There's no reason to hold a town hall and then have people walk out of there with more questions than answers. So,
if I reach out to Nelson and find out if find out what they did do as far as looking at sewer in that area and the potential, I can ask them how much would it cost to run, you know, some estimates of, you know, what would it take to get sewer in there and what's that cost, and then I could at least get that information back to you guys. And if they say, you know, we're not going to even look at this for less than $5,000 or something, then at least that's something as a governing body you guys can decide. And if you guys say, nah, we're not going to do it, then there's the answer, and they need to probably carry this funding themselves.
The other thing, Jim, I think you need to make sure that's included in that rough design is an estimation of the amount of water and sewer that will be needed and generated from basically roughly 400 residents. I think, what did you say, 98 potential homes, property owners, but just so that the city then can take that number and look at their figures for capacity and make sure that it's something that they can handle.
Because certainly, I know that even, you know, once you have, even if you just look at sewer in the long term, water is going to be next. It's just a matter of how long and when. I believe sewer will actually be out there. It's just a matter of how long and when. We have to make sure that whatever comes out of the system is still within our use for the city. I mean, we don't have an endless supply of water, so obviously when you tap in and add 400 houses like that, we have to make sure that it's not going to mess with actual growth, if that means, because you've got areas where people are going to want to build new houses and add in. So I just wrote down, I'll add, see if we can figure out the amount of water and sewer needed to take care of that, and then whether or not the facilities can handle it, and if they can tell me how much it would cost to get that kind of an estimate, and then I'd at least have a dollar figure. County, I do know this, the county did spend about $30,000 when we discussed this like 10 years ago. We had invested that to talk with potentially what would take place up there or what was needed. So economics are different today, so I don't want to say we will pay for anything, but I think it's fair to at least show this encouraging. So
so I have a question. Mm-hmm. You had mentioned 400 homes?
Residents.
Residents. Okay. Yeah. That was what we said, 98 things. So
yeah, so we got a lot of single families up there that have kids and stuff. So, you know, when you figure 2.1 people per house, and then when you add the kid population, that's where I say 400
people. Okay. You know, and I get that, yeah.
It's 98 houses, though.
Well, why do we only send 98 if there's 400 homes? But there's 100 homes.
Yeah. I think since the city probably would have the number on how much usage there would be, wouldn't you? Per, well, maybe not. You don't measure.
Well, we have an average unit. Average.
You do
well,
have.
We could probably average it out, I guess. Yeah, how much? What normal house we treat so much for the town, we figure out how much that equates per person.
And I know we have capacity, sorry.
Okay. Yeah. And just make sure that we're looking at those figures, that it's planning that it's fully built out, because you have lots that are not developed at this point.
And if somebody were to all of a sudden come in and say they want to subdivide in one of these massive chunks right next to town, and they want to go through water and sewer and pay it and do it, we don't want to inhibit that either. Because if adding in whether it's water or sewer takes that capacity from, you know, logical growth, we want to carefully evaluate that. And we're right in the ballpark with every small town in Wyoming. And I don't want to call Buffalo small, but we're right in where we're at the limits and we have to expand. And so there's a lot of discussion with planners
about trying to make sure Wyoming is paying attention to our services that we need, because we are growing. And if we don't at least take care of those, then we kind of handicap ourselves. So I didn't have anything else.
What does it do to the value of their home if they go from a well and septic to having water and plumb sewer?
Well,
like from a realtor's perspective.
The water wells, I've had two well drillers tell me they won't drill any water wells up there. They don't think that the state engineer's office will rightfully permit that, so I don't know what that cost is. A truck and a water tank,
like
cisterns, sewer.
Like if I own a house up there and I want to sell it, is it easier to sell with city utilities, or is it easier to sell with water and sewer?
I would say water and sewer. Especially if they have a limit. I mean, I did have a septic system that failed up there. They quote unquote have told me, oh, we replaced it. No, they replaced 35% of their leach field.
So I'm just thinking from that.
If somebody,
housing market's going.
So if somebody can't replace that and they end up having to put a holding tank in,
how do you sell your house?
You need 3,000 gallons of holding tanks for 1 week for a single family house. And that'd be, you know, let's just say a 3-bedroom house. So you'd have to have 3,000 gallons of storage, and that's going to get you 1 week. And so pumping it, you know, we've had the pumper say it's $200 for 1,000 gallons. So that's 600 gallons for hopefully a week. It would add up very quickly, and it would just lower that cost.
I just didn't know if when we're getting some of this homework that we need to do, you know, is it a question to ask a realtor to say, how can you sell this house right now?
I think it's worth asking.
With the, you know, the septic tank goes out, how do you sell this home? You can't put a new septic tank in.
It almost needs to be disclosures in their real estate agreement.
Jim's got to get his picture of his kid to school.
School, luckily, I'm good still. I wrote that down. I'll see if I can touch base with the local realtor board. Barbara Karen's pretty good about looking at data, or even Christy.
Just an additional point. An insurance agent was telling me the other day that by putting water and sewer in, and I don't know the actual details, but it would be worth looking at if you were talking to real estate agents, that insurance costs also go down probably by about 30%, which at the moment would be quite a significant saving. I don't know the details, but that's quite a significant additional point for homeowners up there.
For our members of the fire district, are there any fire plugs up in that neighborhood, or any sort of suppression? Where's the closest? Does anybody know?
Isn't there some like on, what is that, 4th Avenue? Fourth wave at the top, like just north of Kozacek's house.
Could be.
I thought there was one on the corner there.
Possibly when that transmission line went across.
They put one in. I thought it was 270 to any of those tanks. When we talked to
For 1,000 gallons,
it's 270.
Okay.
And we had $5 difference between the two companies. 270, 275.
Oh, that's right. I forget, gas is $4 a gallon. Those diesels. So I guess get my homework done and maybe send an email out to you guys. My 5 gals that keep calling me, they just want to know. They said that they would champion this, and they actually went door to door with a lot of people up there. I think I'll call them and just let them know so they can share. And if it's okay, I'll just, you know, say, here, this is what we're looking at. And because they've asked, what's the percentage? So, you know, and is the interest there? I pushed it out to the one side and forgot the other side.
Okay, before Mr. Waller goes and gets his first day of school pictures, is there any other questions? All right. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Just as a reminder, the Joint Agriculture Committee is going to be in Buffalo September 10th and 11th. They're going to use the admin office for the school district to hold those field hearings. The hope is that, again, we'll provide some sort of hospitality for those legislators that are in town over those 2 days. I've reached out to Barry if there was a preference from the committee on either the night of the 9th or the night of the 10th, because usually on the 11th they finish up and then they go home. So as soon as we have some more information on that, we get that circulated. I really appreciate everybody that showed up. We enjoyed appropriations was here. It's always good to make those connections, ask and answer questions, and certainly I think they enjoyed their time here, and that probably means that we'll get another field hearing down the road, which is always good for heads and beds and also showcasing our community.
What's the topic of conversation usually at the Joint Agriculture meeting?
So they are going to be finalizing bills for the session in January, so it'll be kind of cleaning up anything that's left over that the Management Council gave them for the interim. So could be anything from predators to fencing. They kind of had a shorter list than some of the other committees, but.
Okay.
Is there any public comment? Okay, if not, we will work around the table. Councilman Madsen, anything on your to-do list?
Nothing additional.
Nothing right now.
Mr. Mayor.
I'm glad Bill Holly was here today. I just want to keep mental health kind of at the forefront of all of us, all of ours. In my other jobs, I've seen way too much of it. So think about what you can do. Get out this information and let people know that there are services out there to help people in need. We just need to figure out who's what we got here in Buffalo, because it's needed. And don't forget to vote today. If you haven't voted yet.
Madam Clerk.
Nope.
This is Kim. Piggyback just for 1 sec off of what the mayor said. I think you're all aware that we have some concerns with the level of community mental health services that are available in light of the transition from Northern Wyoming to BOA. They have lost more of their providers since they came and presented to the commissioners, so we will be sending them their leadership a letter and asking them to come in and explain their path forward and also how they're going to get us to a situation where we have sustainable mental health resources here for our community, and that we're meeting the needs of all the different age groups and income levels in the community. So thanks, Mr. Mayor, for highlighting that, because it is a real, real concern.
Very real.
I want to be careful today, first day of school. Lots of people around.
Okay. If the bus has red flashy lights, stop. Don't make me go out of my other job.
Kids on e-bikes.
How soon before they'll have the sidewalks on the north end? Because that's the safe routes to the school route. How soon are we looking at before those will be all back together so those kiddos can safely traverse over to Middle Ark and Cloud Peak?
Keith, do you have an update on the whiteout project fresh in your head and when the sidewalks will be done on the safe route on the South Main?
No, I don't have a completion date. They're working on until complete. That's what I know. I know that they've started, the emphasis is now moving up to the north part of the project. Essentially, the sound piece is done. And it looks, having driven down there this morning myself on the way here, it looks like they really are wrapping up on that. I know that the move of the crosswalk was due to be finished by this morning for school.
Good.
School.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And thank you for posting all the right on the sheets.
All right, if there's anything more, then please, Chris put together a great breakfast this morning, so get some.
Did you make it?
I did not make it, but I ordered it.
The bacon was good.
That's a copy of the bacon.
This audio was brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry, where advanced dental technology meets compassionate, patient-centered care.